Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and we'll get our New Orleans report. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Bon temps roulé or something like that. I'm in New Orleans.
Well, how's it been?
Well, I'm eating too much.
That's good. That's good.
And it's a really friendly city. Way more complicated than just the French Quarter. But I see that the tourists all go to Bourbon Street and get drunk. this is Bourbon Street is maybe the most disgusting street I've ever been on. It's just lined with people literally drunk in the streets, drinking in the streets. Mostly young people, of course, but there are some oldies hanging around too, and it's mobbed. And we went just to see what was going on, and actually for a couple of reasons, but not my cup of tea. But there's so much more to New Orleans than Bourbon Street, and actually more to New Orleans than the French Quarter. In fact, I'm staying at a hotel called the Inn at the Old Jail. It's a wonderful place. The owners, it's a 9-room hotel, and the owners, Liz and Raul Kanash, they're actually refugees from Venezuela. Raul was an executive with Bayer, the pharmaceutical company in Venezuela, but when Chavez came to power and started ruining everything, as they put it, they came back to the States. I mean, Liz is from the States. She's American. Oh, and Raul's a citizen, too. But they bought this old police station in a neighborhood called Treme. Now, before I left, when I told people I was staying in Treme, people from New Orleans, people not from New Orleans, they all said, well, it's not a very safe neighborhood. In fact, even I have a young friend here. When I say young, he's 29. I think by all accounts that's young. Even he said, we went the first night we were here, we were going to a restaurant in the neighborhood and we were going to walk. And he said, I don't know if I would walk there. I would call a cab. I said, but Daniel, it's only 3 blocks away. He said, still. But anyway, Treme seems to be pretty safe. I think maybe if you lived here, you might want to have bars on your windows, but I'm staying in a police station, so there already are bars on the windows. And we feel very safe here. And actually, walking around the neighborhood, which we did the first day, because architecturally, New Orleans is fascinating. This neighborhood is filled with what are called shotgun houses, which are long, narrow houses. And there's a lot of renovation going on here. I guess this is a gentrifying section of the city. It's right outside the French Quarter. But by the way, this lost me. I didn't know anything about this, but there was apparently an HBO series based in Treme. I think it was actually called Treme. It was essentially an African American neighborhood, but now with gentrification, it's a mix. And in fact, there's this really nice restaurant called Gabrielle that the people come to from all over. So I think a restaurant or a fine dining establishment, so to speak, I think that that's an indication of what's going on in Treme. As I said, it's really a beautiful city, and there are many rich people here, too, not just poor people. The Garden District is where you go to see all the big, beautiful houses, and the recommendation of our host at the hotel here, Bob and I took the St. Charles called the cable car, but it's the trolley. It gives you a little, besides that they're adorable ancient cars, gives you an idea of the city. You can take the St. Charles car from all the way from downtown to the edge of the city practically, and that was really nice. Bob and I got off in the Garden District, walked around a little bit to see the houses and gardens, and then we walked along Magazine Street, which is a shopping street where there used to be many antique and collectible stores, but no more because that's being gentrified too, and I guess the rents are so high, so you get things like the the Warby Parker retail store, or couture dressmakers, fancy shoe stores. So anyway, but talk about food here. Let's start with the negatives. I think New Orleans has the worst bread that I've ever encountered. It is crusty, yes, but inside it's like cotton candy. It is Wonder Bread with a crust. And this is the bread that they make po' boys on. Po' boys, as everybody probably knows, is basically what we call a hero or a submarine. It's a sandwich on this baguette, which they think is a French baguette, but you know, I never encountered such bread in France. And I like po' boys because the fillings are good. You know, it's really good. By the way, we have two Louisiana restaurants in Brooklyn. One of them is on Atlantic Avenue downtown, just off of Court Street, and I've been to both. And the one that's called Gumbo Brothers. And coincidentally, I was sitting in a restaurant next to a young couple from Washington, D.C., and he said, oh, do you ever hear the Gumbo Brothers on Atlantic Avenue? It's his buddy who opened it up. But they make a big deal at Gumbo Brothers of how they fly in the bread for the poor boys from New Orleans, but I don't think they should bother. We have another Louisiana restaurant called Lower Line, which I can walk to from my house, and I think it's, I don't want to say the food is superior, but certainly the bread is superior. And I've been to Lower Line a couple of times now, and I intend to go back. I'm not flying to New Orleans for a poor boy. And he brings it. He uses local bread, you know, Brooklyn bread, New York bread, and it's good. So after the bread, the other little negative is oysters. You know, New Orleans, Louisiana, is famous for oysters, and every upscale restaurant, the old-time restaurants, and there are several who are 100 years or more, make baked oysters with these toppings, and I'll tell you what they are in a second. I thought all of them were a good way to ruin an oyster. Pardon me, Jill?
I was just going to say, one of my favorite New Orleans memories is Ernest, the oyster shucker, who wasn't shucking fast enough on the street, you know, because they had stands. Are those still there?
I have no clue. I haven't seen any oysters being shucked on the street. The last time you were here?
A while ago, but shucked and sold. I mean, you would just buy them. You'd line up and buy them.
I haven't seen anything like that.
A soubrette's cart kind of thing.
But really, I'm not sure why you'd want to even eat them.
Okay.
So I went to this. I'll tell you why. I got to the adjunct cafe, lower priced restaurant, of Arnaud's, which is a 100-year-old. Actually, they're celebrating their 100th anniversary this year. It's a place called Remoulade. And they offer a plate with one each of all the restaurant's baked oysters. That would be oysters Bienville, oysters Catherine, oysters Suzette, oysters Ohan, and the most famous of all, oysters Rockefeller. I remember loving oysters Rockefeller when I was here. I've been here in literally almost 50 years. Yes, I'm old enough to say that. And I remember liking them, but then 50 years ago, I didn't know anything. And Oysters Rockefeller, the famous, most famous of all of these Arnaud oysters, is topped with spinach and bacon, seasoned with a touch of Pernod, which has an anise flavor. And Oysters Ohan is topped with eggplant and andouille sausages. The sausage is all chopped up, so it's hard even to find any in there, but it seasons it. And Oyster Suzette is topped with bacon, pimento, green onion, and bell pepper. If you hear a clock, it's because there's a big father clock. Is that what you call them? I forget.
A grandfather clock?
A grandfather clock right here next to me, practically. So it's over. And then Oysters Bienville is topped with, well, you know what? It's not important. The toppings are all very nice, except I didn't really like the Rockefeller. I thought it was way too much spinach. But they are put on top of an oyster and baked. So yesterday, we went to a fabulous place called Peche, P-E-C-H-E, French for fish. And it's just down the block from the world. Did you know that we have a World War II museum here in New Orleans? I didn't know that existed. But it's an enormous, enormous complex and a great museum. I was very happy to see a lot of young people in the museum because I think young people don't really know what happened during World War II. Lots of and this museum caters to people who have to see things through movies and sound and visual because there are lots of little rooms around. They're showing video of this, that, or the other thing, including, by the way, a special exhibition on Bob Hope. But anyway, Peche is down the street, and they offered fresh, unadorned, local Louisiana oysters, and so I ordered them just to see what that's all about. I ordered the oysters, and the man at the next table, a young man who lives in Washington, D.C., but is from here, said, you know, I used to think these were great oysters, but now that I live on the East Coast, I understand that East Coast oysters are so much better. But I had to taste the oysters without embellishment, and I could see why they might want to hide them. They're sort of nothing. Local oysters don't have a whole lot of flavor. They're not very briny. I don't know. It got lost on me. And I definitely don't recommend, if you ever come to New Orleans, to order any of these baked oysters, because unless you love the topping so much, like the oysters Catherine, topped with chopped artichoke hearts, garlic, and parmigiano, and you would think that that would be really good. Well, it is. The topping is really good. The oyster underneath is not so much. It's not that it's bad. It's just, you know, lackluster, let's use that word. And then the third little complaint I have, well, I mean, maybe there's a fourth too, is prices. You know, I'm used to New York prices, which are, you know, I've gone hysterical. But the prices here can be hysterical, too. I mean, we looked at a menu in a restaurant, and there were $50 entrees. Appetizers could be $15, $20. You know, that's, but of course, it's in the middle of the French Quarter.
I was just going to say, is that for tourists?
Tourist place. We went to a place called, the place we went to right here in the neighborhood in Treme is called Gabrielle, and of course their prices were not nearly as bad, but still, even in this rundown, not touristic neighborhood, an entree could be $28, $30, with appetizers in the $12 to $15 range. So I was surprised that prices were so high here. And then Uber has taken over this town, Uber and Lyft, and it has become really hard to get a taxi. And we're in a neighborhood where the taxis are not cruising around. You have to call for a cab, and sometimes they show up and sometimes they don't. We finally found a reliable taxi company, but it took a while. So those are my little complaints. On the good side, we have eaten some great food. A place that the locals don't go, they put their nose in the air because they say it's touristic, was sensational. It's a semi-cafeteria called Mother's, and it's downtown. And we ended up there because I did a radio show on the big radio station here, WWL. And the WWL studios are in a high-rise office building across the street from Mother's. So when I was figuring out where to eat lunch before the radio, which was not until 3 o'clock, I came up with this. I called my friend Daniel, who lives here, and he said, oh, yeah, I've seen that place. How could you not? It's across the street from your studio. I've seen that place, but I've never been there. You know, he says, I don't know anybody who goes there. They really know what they're doing at Mother's, not just for the food, but the whole system, because it's a very, very popular restaurant with tourists. and they line you up outside, and it seemed like an endless line, but it went very fast. And maybe we were outside 10 minutes. And then they let you in, and then you're waiting on another line to order your food. But they only let in so many people because there are only a few tables. There's not that much room inside. And so they don't want the tables to be all occupied when you get your food. So somehow they figured out how many people to let in and let out so that there's always, when you finally do make your order on the line, you then go sit at a table, and they bring it to your table. That's a system I've seen in New York, but it works very, very well here. And then they also have a waitress wandering around to the South, after all, to refill your glass with whatever beverage you have, except lemonade. No refill from lemonade. You know why? Because if anybody shops for lemons, you'll see how expensive lemons are, and I'm sure they're using fresh lemons. So that's Mother's, right in the heart of the city. And I had excellent fried oyster, fried shrimp po' boy. The only thing is the bread, of course, so I didn't eat much of the bread. I ate the shrimp and the oysters out of the sandwich. They're smeared with a very good tartar sauce, so it all was pretty good. And I had a cup of gumbo, very good. Bob had everywhere. We tend to like always order some same things, not of each other, but you know, Bob is tasting etouffee wherever he goes. So he had a crawfish etouffee, also excellent. We really enjoyed Mother's. And everybody is so friendly. People would get off, well, even the tourists are friendly, because it's the kind of city where you feel like you're all in it together.
That has not so changed.
People get offline and look at our plate and say, what are you eating? Is it any good? Another place. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I just a quick question. Are you finding, you know, that's, are you missing the New York angle of things, or are you liking the conviviality?
I'm liking, well, you know, Brooklyn is pretty convivial.
That's true.
Manhattan,
not so much. Right.
But I always tell this story. When I first moved to Park Slope, it's now 20 years, I went to the pharmacy, whatever. And since I'd never been there before, they wanted my address, phone number, blah, blah. And I'm telling this to the clerk, and there's a black woman standing next to me. And she said, where did you live before? I said, oh, I lived in Manhattan. And she said, oh, I've always wanted to live in Manhattan. I said, no, you don't. She said, why? I said, because if we were in Manhattan, you wouldn't talk to me and I wouldn't talk to you. But in Brooklyn, we talk to each other. So New Orleans is like that. People do talk to each other. It's very important, I think.
Right.
So, yeah. So we went to a place here. There are two super-duper famous restaurants right here in Treme. Willie Mae's Scotch House. Mae is spelled M-A-E, like it's her name, Willie Mae. And Willie Mae's Scotch House is famous for fried chicken. And I had to go to Willie Mae besides to eat famous fried chicken, because we have somebody in Brooklyn who owns the Hometown Barbecue, which to me is the end of the end barbecue, meaning great barbecue. If you ever want barbecue in Brooklyn, Hometown is across the street from the Fairway Supermarket in Red Hook, and it's hard to park there, but the Fairway parking lot is across the street. You park in the Fairway parking lot, you go to Hometown. Really, people say the best barbecue outside of Texas. But anyway, the owner is opening up a tavern where he's going to serve fried chicken modeled after Willie Mae's. So I thought I should try Willie Mae's. It was worth it. The chicken was great. I didn't like the side dishes, in particular the famous candied sweet potatoes, because they were just sliced sweet potatoes cooked in syrup. A lot of things here are sickeningly sweet. It's the Southern taste, I think. The other famous restaurant I'm not going to get to is called Dookie Chase, and owned by a woman named Leah Chase, who's 90-some-odd years old, still hangs out in the kitchen at the restaurant. But it's closed. I haven't gotten there yet. It's closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, so I'm not getting there. But that's in this neighborhood, too. Strangely, well, I don't know if it's strange, but there are some guidebooks that don't even mention Dookie Chase and Willie Mae ago. And then we ate in a place. I think I mentioned to you, Gabrielle is this nice restaurant in the neighborhood, and they're very good. For one night, we had such a big lunch. I think it was the day we had lunch at Mother's. We couldn't really eat much dinner, but we wanted to go out, so we walked over to Gabrielle, and we just had the she crab soup and this great salad they have of grilled shrimp, and it's on a bed of various lettuces, avocado, I don't remember what else, but really great salad. So believe me, that was a cup of she crab and a salad like that was enough for dinner. By the way, the foods here, you know, the main thing is seafood. And Gulf shrimp are really great. And a lot of crab. Fresh fish is very expensive everywhere, and it is here. But at the moment, they have local swordfish. And I think there's pompano around. At least I'm told there's pompano around. And there's I haven't looked this up. I'm not familiar with drum, D-R-U-M. But at this place called Pesh, I had a baked drum dish, and I liked drum. It's a very mild fish. They gussy it up with a saffron. They call it broth. It really was more than broth. It was a sauce, but it was thin sauce. And they top it with aioli and serve it with peas on top, real peas, meaning they were shelled sometime that day, not frozen. And they have something, I have to look this up too. They call them field peas, but it's not. When you order field peas here, you get a dish full of beans, different beans, all mixed together. That's something. And what else? Oh, so we went last night. Well, let me tell my another negative here. This story I've told a few times. Galatoire's is one of the most famous restaurants in New Orleans. It's been here for over 100 years. And when I asked locals, you know, which fine dining restaurant should I not miss, they all say the same thing, Galatoire's. Now, we went to a concert of the Louisiana Philharmonic one night, last Friday, and we had to get there at 6:30 because it was a little lecture before the concert. What was worth getting there, the conductor gave the lecture, and he opened my eyes about Brahms' Fourth. But besides that, we had to eat an early dinner. And everybody tells you that Galatoire's opens at 11, and there's instantly a long line to get in. You only want to sit downstairs. Upstairs is Siberia. But at 4 o'clock, we were told, the lunch crowd is gone, and the dinner crowd hasn't arrived. And you probably can get in without too much delay. So get to Galatoire's. There's no line, but there's one couple in the vestibule waiting for their table. And there's a host, actually not in attendance at his podium, but he came in a couple minutes. And I told him you needed a table for two. And he said, oh, it's going to be a long wait. I said, well, you know what? We can't wait long. We'll be happy to sit upstairs. He said, no, there's a long wait there, too. He said it rather curtly. And I said, well, can you give me an estimated time? And he says to me, what do you think I am? In this nasty tone, what do you think I am, Nostradamus? So I said, well, you are the host, and I figured you could give me a ballpark time. And he said, and he turned away from me. He didn't want to talk to me. We go to the concert, and there's a... we're standing in the aisle at the end of intermission because I'm waiting for all the people to pile into my row. I'm at the end. And this gentleman comes over to say hello to his friends, and the friends say, where is your wife? And he says, oh, my wife is in Park Slope, is in Brooklyn. He didn't say Park Slope. He said, my wife is in Brooklyn visiting the grandchildren and my kids. And I'm thinking, since Park Slope, we always say, is Grandparent Central. We have a lot of visiting grandparents. Because, you know, my neighborhood is full of people who come from afar, let's say that. And then with kids, it's a family neighborhood, and the parents come from afar to visit the grandchildren. I'm saying to Bob, oh, I was going to ask him if his wife is in Park Slope. but I didn't. And then the man sitting right by me at the end of the aisle in front of me says, Park Slope. You live in Park Slope? I said, yeah. He says, are you Martha Schwartz? So here in New Orleans, I was recognized by my voice.
Yay.
Ends up, wait, let me finish. It's more small world. Besides that, he used to live in Brooklyn, in Bushwick. He's from Goshen, Connecticut.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Grew up in Goshen. Schuylkill Road. I even knew his road. So we're talking, and his wife, who is from New Orleans, says, oh, have you been to Galatoire yet? I said, well, actually, and I told her the story, and she was totally appalled. Apparently, they're regulars at Galatoire's. They're like local royalty at Galatoire's. And she said, oh, when I get there tomorrow, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. But I've told the story a few times, and everybody has the same reaction. How rude.
How surprising.
I am. Nostradamus.
I mean, it's funny, but still.
Yeah. So I love one more thing, because I know I'm out of time. But this town is full of Sicilians, or at least people of Sicilian descent. Hence, they have... there's such a thing as Italian Creole restaurants. However, I have a rule. I never eat pasta outside of my own home. Even in New York, rarely do I eat pasta outside of my own home. And because it's never satisfying to me. It's overcooked. The water's not salted enough. The sauce is terrible. There are so many reasons it could be bad. But we went to a place called Mosca's, which is outside the city. We had to drive about a half hour. A super-duper famous Italian Creole restaurant. We had one dish that I would eat there, which is there. They call it chicken grande. In the East, we call it chicken scarpaiello. It's pieces of chicken, cut-up chicken, sautéed with rosemary and garlic. Very good. The pasta was terrible. I was at a table with other people, so they ordered some pasta. They had good meatballs, but the spaghetti was terrible. And the sauce was okay. The spaghetti was, I don't know, was terrible. And they have a dish called spaghetti bordelaise, which has nothing to do with Bordeaux. It's basically garlic and oil, but since they don't use good oil, there's no point in ordering that. It's garlic and oil with a pat of butter in it. I don't get it. And anyway, we're eating extremely well.
How long are you there?
Well, we're leaving tomorrow.
Okay.
Today we're getting there's a man here who gives culinary tours who wants to meet me, and I want to meet him too, I guess. But he's very unreliable. He's already canceled on us twice, and he's picking us up today. We were supposed to go to Dookie Chase today, but if you're a culinary guide, I don't know how you... don't know that Dookie Chase is closed on Monday and Tuesday. That's why I'm not going to Dookie Chase. But we'll see where he takes us. So yeah. I said, to my host here, Raul, I said, well, who told him that I was here and blah, blah. Raul said, well, we don't say unreliable. We say informal. New Orleans people are informal.
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Euphemism. For unreliable.
Well, we have to be informal. Yeah. We're running out
by
of time.
By me, if you say you're going to be somewhere at 11 o'clock, get there at 11 o'clock.
That's true.
You don't call at 10:30 and say, oh, I can't come.
Yeah. It's a whole other world out there, isn't it?
It's another world. Well, they all say that here. We say that in New York, too. We say, New York is not America, it's New York. And here they say New Orleans is not America, it's New Orleans.
And on that
they
note...
They say New Orleans isn't even Louisiana. It's New Orleans.
Also true.
This is a very red state. With a very blue city.
All right. Well, we will welcome you back in the very...
believe me, there's no place like home, as Dorothy said.
Be it ever so humble. All right. Love to you both. See you soon.
Take care.
All right. That is Arthur Schwartz, live from New Orleans, losing track of the clock. Here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, JARestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.